So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 5. And we're going to turn to the series with the theme of growing. Remember, we started with the words of 2 Peter 3:15, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that we've got to take responsibility as Christians for our own spiritual growth. We can't leave it to the minister to spoon feed us, or to anyone else for that matter. And we saw how to meet with God through the Bible. We thought about that. We thought about prayer, about centering our lives on God through prayer and learning what it means to call God our Father. We thought also about giving as a means of growth, about fasting, about worshipping, and about fellowshipping. And tonight I want to think about church membership and what it means. Simple, church membership. So let's read again in Acts 5 and at verse 12. On the middle of the verse there where it says, all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Now Solomon's colonnade was part of the temple. The temple in Jerusalem, Herod's temple, was vast. It was huge. And Solomon's colonnade was a cloister, a kind of roofed porch all the way along the east side of the temple. It was vast and it had plenty of space for thousands of people. So that's where the Christians were meeting at this stage. And no one else dared join them. No wonder after what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now, if you were to empty the wallet of many Scotsmen, or the purse indeed of many a Scotswoman, you would find amidst the various contents and cards a gym membership card. In this part of the world, I think it's still the High Life card. Gives you access to the gym down in Kyle and to other Highland Council facilities around the area. Now, a gym membership card is something that some people use religiously, frequently. And you can tell, because when you look at them, you can see the tone of their body. You can see that they exercise regularly. Other people bought their gym membership card perhaps early on in January when they were feeling particularly guilty and made a New Year's resolution. And perhaps the card is now lurking in some forgotten corner of that wallet. They've only used it twice. Church membership can be very like that. When I was a child in Alness, the Church of Scotland that I belonged to, well, nominally my family did, used to always amuse me in various ways. One of them was that at communion time, the congregation suddenly swelled up massively. Where did all these people come from? And the elders used to go round before communion, whatever it was, twice a year or whatever, with communion cards around all the people who were members of the church. Many of these people never went to church except at communion. And suddenly at communion, they would all appear in the pews, take communion, and then vanish off the face of the earth for another 6 months until the elders went round again with the next lot of communion cards. It wasn't a very happy situation, I don't imagine, for the elders having to chase people up every 6 months. But it certainly begged the question, well, what does church membership mean to these people? Of course, there were others who were very committed to the church and to the Lord Jesus. But there was a large percentage for whom membership was something that you hardly ever thought about, but just occasionally you turned up in church when it was communion. You can't do that with the gym. You can't go to the gym maybe twice a year and expect to be fit. You're not going to be fit if you only go to the gym twice a year and that's all the exercise you do. And in the same way, you're not going to be spiritually fit if your church membership means that you only go to the church very occasionally. So I want to understand what church membership means and to see how it should be a means of growing for Christians. And to do that, we're coming to the book of Acts. So we're coming to a point when the church was just forming, a point when the church was perhaps at its purest, its simplest, its clearest. And I'm interested in what it means when verse 13 it says no one else dared join them. What does joining the church mean? And again in verse 14, people believed in the Lord and were added to their number. What does being added to the church mean? I'm interested in that. And what I'm going to do is apply these two words, joining and adding, to joining the church and being added to the church membership role of the church. Now you could argue, if you wanted, that what we call church membership isn't exactly found in the New Testament, and you'd probably be right. But I'm not going to bog down in detail. What I'm wanting to try and find out is, what is church membership if we're going to make the most of it? Now, of course, the apostles didn't have Kirk Session records with communion rolls as we do and most churches do these days. Didn't have membership certificates, as far as I can tell. But the outcome of being welcomed into the New Testament church by the apostles and being baptized by them was really what we would call church membership. The way that you join the church, let's see how it happened. Well, first of all, if you look at verse 12, you've got this group who are called the believers. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. And they're meeting together in this part of the temple. And no one else, it says, dares to join them. Now, the reason for that probably is rooted in what happens earlier on in the chapter, where it's quite clear that there's a real commitment involved in joining the early church. You've really got to seek to be honest with God. Don't try and, for example, as they did, sell property, pretend that you're giving the full price of your property sale to the church to help the widows, as we thought about this morning, and others, if you're not. If you're actually holding back some of it for yourself, don't try and lie to God, don't deceive God. You had to really be prepared to live under a high level of scrutiny as to the honesty and integrity of your life. And of course, there was persecution. The authorities were gunning for the early church, and to become a Christian was to be thrown out of the synagogue and to lose the privileges that that brought. So it was quite a costly thing. So very few people would think of associating with the church unless they really were believers in Christ. But how do you become a believer? If no one joins them, how do they hear about Jesus? Well, the believers are just advertising Jesus all the time. So verse 12, the apostles, they're doing miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Verse 16, crowds are gathering from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them are being healed. So Jesus is doing these amazing things through the apostles, and the church is talking about it. The church is talking about the resurrection. The church is excited about Jesus. And so you don't keep the church within Solomon's colonnade. The church is going all through Jerusalem and into the towns out round about. And people are talking about Jesus. And because of that, if you're one of the people hearing them talk, maybe you become a believer that Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe, as verse 14 says, you're one of the more and more men and women who believes in the Lord. And when you believe, it means you're really accepting that he is the Saviour, he's the Lord, and therefore you've got to commit to him. You've got to live for him. You've got to follow him. And so you receive the baptism in the name of Jesus from the apostles, and you receive with that the Spirit of God as a gift, as every Christian does. Acts 2:38, remember what Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So once that happens, You then join with those believers at Solomon's colonnade, as verse 14 says, you're added to their number. You're a member. You believed in Jesus through the way that the church is talking about Jesus in the community. You've believed in him, and you've committed to being part of his church. You've been baptized, and you're a member. And suddenly a whole new world opens up for you, because you're willing to be identified with Jesus and to be identified with his people. Because of that, a whole new realm of possibility opens up for you in what we call church membership. For you, church membership is a whole new world. And that's the way we should think of it. Let me tell you two things that are really important about church membership. The privileges and the responsibilities. The privileges and the responsibilities. Let's think first of all about the privileges. There are a few of them that we can mention quickly. First of all, you receive baptism. Baptism in the name of Jesus as a sign of your commitment to Jesus. That's the first privilege. You receive baptism. And also, part of that privilege includes receiving baptism for your children. In the New Testament, there are a few examples. For example, in Acts chapter 16, the family of Lydia, the family of the Philippian jailer. When Lydia and the Philippian jailer believe, their household is baptized. So there is first of all, a sharing in this privilege of baptism. It's like passing from death to life. It's like coming in under the care of Jesus, under the shadow of the Most High. That's what baptism is. That's the first of the privileges. And through baptism, you come into the church body and you get access to the teaching of the church, the teaching of the apostles. So again, remember Acts 2:42 I was preaching on in Callaghan Hall a few weeks ago? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The breaking of bread, the fellowship and the prayers. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is what the church did. They got access through membership in the church to that group meeting in Solomon's colonnade being taught by the likes of Peter and John, who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection, who had been about with Jesus all the time of his ministry. What a privilege. Now you might think today, well, you can access the apostles' teaching without membership in the church. And that is true. But there's a big difference between hearing the apostles' teaching as a member and hearing it as a non-member. If you hear the apostles' teaching as a member of the church, you're hearing it as someone who is prepared publicly to identify with Jesus and to live out whatever the apostles' teaching implies for your life. If you hear the apostles' teaching as a non-member, well, you have excluded yourself from public identification with the Lord's people, because you're not yet a member. So you're resisting spiritual progress in your life. And so when you hear the apostles' teaching, there are things in it you're going to resist. That's something to think about for all of us here this evening. Membership means you hear the preaching in a new way. If you're not a member, you're stuck. Because that's the next stage. If you've believed in Jesus, membership's the next stage. And if you haven't done that, how can you do the other things that follow on from it? Something to really think about. Another privilege you access through membership is worship. You might think, well, anyone can worship, but you worship as well in a different way if you have membership in the church, because you are identifying with the Lord Jesus. As an individual, you're not ashamed to identify with him and to obey him. He is your Lord, and you're accepting that, and you're trying to live that out in your life. And because you're accepting that, when you worship, it has another level of authenticity. He's your Lord, and he called you to come into membership in the church. So you did that, so that you could keep progressing, because he's your Lord, and you want to obey him in everything. So when you worship him, you've got a degree of sincerity in that that you can't have until you become a member in the church. Another privilege you access is fellowship. You enter into a deeper level of fellowship when you come into church membership, because when you come into church membership, other Christians who are already in membership then can see clearly where you stand. They know where you stand spiritually. And because you're not ashamed to join with them in church membership, they know that you really are someone who is serious about following Jesus. And so they can share more deeply with you in fellowship. You can therefore talk more freely about Jesus. You can share your spiritual experiences more freely when you're talking to someone who's also a member of the church, if you're a member too. And then, of course, there's the Lord's Supper. There's another privilege. The Lord's Supper that you share with other Christians when you come into membership. Now, unfortunately, in our tradition, many people think that's really the only thing that membership's about. They think membership is getting to the Lord's table. That's only a tiny part of it, as I hope we're seeing now. That's only one reason for membership. It's important, but it's just one reason. But it is important. You get access to the Lord's table. You get participation in the meal that we call the Lord's Supper. And that meal is meant by Jesus to build up your faith. It's meant to be a way that you focus on him, remember him, and it's very personal, because you take the bread and the wine, you share with others who are doing the same. You're really identifying with Jesus, and Jesus in the Lord's Supper is identifying with you as well. You're missing that if you don't share in church membership with believers. So we're seeing there are privileges. When you become a member of a church, you're beginning to live with your eternal family, with those with whom you will spend forever in the kingdom of Jesus. And you're beginning to taste the powers of that kingdom and of the world to come. So we should be excited about church membership. Now obviously what I'm saying here comes not just out of this passage, but out of the whole of the New Testament. Privileges. Okay. There are responsibilities as well. Responsibilities. Again, go back to Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, or to the prayers. One of the responsibilities is that of meeting with other Christians to pray. When you become a member in the church, you're taking a step towards that responsibility of meeting with other Christians. Now, it may be just with one other Christian, with a friend perhaps, over coffee to pray, maybe with a little prayer group for something specific, or it may be at the prayer meeting. But you take that responsibility as something that membership means. You're going to meet with other Christians to pray and to say with them, "Our Father who is in heaven." You're speaking to your common Father with the rest of the family about the family business. Another responsibility of Christian church membership is the responsibility of giving to the church. And we're talking about financially here. This is where Ananias and Sapphira came unstuck. They were giving to the church, but they were actually deceiving, or trying to deceive, the church at the same time by pretending they were more generous than they really were. In the case of the New Testament church, the apostles had no income. They had to live without earnings. The only earnings they had were what the church provided. The church looked after the apostles And in a sense, it's the same today for any who you call to minister in churches. The ministers today completely depend on the giving of the church. And while anyone can give to the church, members or non-members, this is something that is a particular responsibility you take on yourself when you join the church and identify with the Lord Jesus. You're identifying with the way he's set the church up, the ministry that he's provided for the church, and you're identifying with providing for that ministry. Not just the local church, but you're providing for the church so that it can train its ministers, so that it can send missionaries to other parts of the world, and so that it can provide the facilities for the church to operate as well. And all of these together cost serious amounts of money. Serious amounts of money. And members are taking on a particular responsibility to recognise that. Okay. Another responsibility that we have is that of using our spiritual gifts. God gives us all spiritual gifts when we become Christians. Everyone's got spiritual gifts because we have the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. And these spiritual gifts are meant to benefit the church so that we minister to one another in the church. And they're also meant to enable us to represent the church in the community, to minister to the needs of the community and to tell the community about Jesus, to evangelize. And as a church member, you represent Jesus to your fellow members and also to the community. And that's another of your responsibilities. You take it seriously, just like we were thinking this morning about Acts 6 and the apostles and the deacons, not only ministering within the church through prayer and the ministry of the word, but taking the gospel out. The need to do that, to mix in the community, to live the life of a Christian, to share the gospel with others, to minister to the needs of others. And that is your privilege, but it's also your responsibility in church membership. And finally, one other thing I could mention about the responsibilities of church membership is that of obedience. Obedience. Obedience to the Lord. When you become a member of the church, placing yourself in a position which says, I follow Jesus as my Lord, I obey him. And you're placing yourself in the church under the care in the New Testament of the apostles, but later on of the elders of the church. The apostles appointed elders in all the churches to supervise those who are members of the church, so that those who were baptized believers in the church would live righteously. And when they didn't, they exercised what we would call church discipline. And now you see a striking example of that in verses 1 to 11, of course. In verses 1 to 11, it certainly is church discipline of an extraordinary kind, when Ananias and Sapphira are being deceitful and actually lose their lives over it. It's a very solemn episode. But church discipline is solemn. It's something that we should take seriously. When people who come into membership live the life of a Christian in the community, represent the honour of Jesus in the community, that's a great blessing to the community. But if, on the other hand, they fail in some public and serious manner, then they can expect to be removed from membership until they're restored through repentance and fresh commitment. So there are privileges and there are responsibilities in church membership. And I hope that you can see just from that little survey, because that's all it is really, that without church membership it's not possible to fulfill your potential as a Christian. It just isn't possible, because it's a bit like climbing up a ladder. And church membership is the next rung up on the ladder after you believe in the Lord Jesus and you begin to trust in him yourself and you begin to accept him as your Lord in your life. The next step is church membership. That is the very next step. It's baptism if you haven't been baptized as an infant. It's baptism and church membership. It's the next rung on the ladder. And if you don't climb the next rung, you can't get to the one after that. Because once you get to climb the rung of church membership, then of course you're accessing all the other things that I was speaking about, the baptism and the Lord's Supper and the new experience of worship and of receiving the teaching, and you're adopting all the new responsibilities of being a church member, the giving and the exercising your gifts and so on. So really it's an important step. It's a vital step, and it does open up a whole new realm of privileges and responsibilities, of opportunities to grow further. So if you're a Christian tonight but you're not a member, maybe you think to yourself, well, you're happy as you are, you've found your level, but you don't even know what you could become if you took the next step and became a member. You don't know how much more you would be growing if you would take that next step and publicly identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands you to move up higher. And how can you ever know the benefits of church membership until you've actually become a member? But if you're not a Christian tonight, if you don't yet know the Lord Jesus, and you don't yet trust him, then I hope what we've said opens your eyes to what the members of the church possess. Because truly, the members of the church are beginning to move into the next age. They're beginning to move into the kingdom to come. They're beginning to taste of the future glory of the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom on earth. And they're moving forward into that. And if you're not a Christian, you're stuck. You're stuck sharing the condemnation of the world without Jesus Christ. And you need to move on. You need to believe. You need to repent. And you need to come and follow Jesus for yourself. May God help us then all to step up on the ladder of faith and of obedience, and to move forward confidently, knowing that we have a great Saviour, a great salvation, and a great future through him. Amen.